Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Post. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Anthony Mangione. Ann, how are you?
Doing good, Russell. Yourself?
Oh, real good. So we're going to invite in Bill Meltzer of Hockey Buzz, and Dave Strail should be on his way soon from the fourth period, and we're going to talk about the Philadelphia Flyers for better or for worse. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing well, Russ. How are you? How are you, Anthony?
Doing well.
Good, good. All right, let's get right into it. So, you know, the first easy stat to look at after the Florida game is they've given up the most goals in the Metro. And the one thing about the Metro, at least in my opinion, probably has the best goalies of any division in the league. And so for a team like the Flyers, if they can't score and they don't have great defense, they're not going to have a lot of 7-1 games, but they're going to have a lot of 5-2 games. Anybody disagree?
I disagree with that. I mean, I think what you saw last night from Steve Mason was an aberration. This is the worst game he's had since coming to Philadelphia, by far. It wasn't, you know, it was just one of those nights, I guess. But, you know, and unfortunately everything unraveled very quickly. But, I mean, I think Mason is I think what you saw in Tampa Bay and what you saw in Florida were two extremes, and the truth is somewhere in the middle of those two. I mean, I think the Flyers are going to be able to execute, shift in and shift out the way they did in Tampa. I mean, that third period was about as well as the Flyers can play, and they took it to Tampa in that third period with the game on the line. They just couldn't get the go-ahead goal. But I thought that they I thought they were the better team in that game. You know, and then Florida happens, and they couldn't possibly have played a worse 60 minutes. So I think they're somewhere in the middle of there, and I think Mason will bounce back.
Look, I think Henrik Lundqvist would give up 5 or 6 goals on occasion with the Flyers' defense. I just do. Dave, what's your thoughts? And welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Mason totally was the worst game he's had since he came to the Flyers. They really didn't have much of a chance. I kind of thought maybe after the third goal, Hextall might use his timeout, but, you know, they had the whole situation with challenges and stuff. But by that point, the game was unraveling so quickly. It was getting to the point where you were going to be losing control of everything, and the coach's challenge wouldn't really make much of a difference. And that's what really ended up happening. I think the lack of goal scoring is going to be an issue. More than goaltending, just what you were to touch on what you were bringing up earlier. I think that was an aberration. I don't think that's, you know, what we'll be expecting to see from him too often. But if teams can consistently shut down the top line, this team's going to have trouble scoring goals.
Yeah, and I take that even a step further, because if you even look at the second half last year, the top line wasn't even scoring 5-on-5. You have to shut down the Flyers' top power play unit. That's the challenge, because they still have a dynamic power play. The first time, at least. You know, I think if you prevent the first power play unit from scoring, you have a very good chance of beating the Flyers, because they don't score much at 5-on-5. Period. Even the top line.
So what do we think the issue is with trying to stay in games and eventually win them, if you could possibly win them in the third, let's say, like the Tampa game? I mean, Hextall's probably going to have to try and play it that way, right? Because I think at this point he probably knows who his personnel is. He probably says to himself he can get some improvement out of obvious areas, and he's hoping for improvement in others. But at the end of the day, do we think the Flyers are going to be a team that's going to have a lot of leads this year? I don't.
It's going to be. I would say it's going to be a. There's going to be a moment. There's going to be starting against certain opponents are going to be pretty hard pressed based on style of play.
Yeah.
And again, I genuinely have my concerns, obviously, with the blue line going forward. Certainly, how they're going to, Haxel's going to have to figure out certainly the appropriate defensive combinations here. That's a big concern for me. I thought there were moments where Schultz and Streit had some concerns, certainly as a top pairing. They're also got to figure out again the exact way they're going to deploy, Evgeny Medvedev as well, in terms of if they're going to have him as the offensive guy or if they're going to have him sort of with a more offensive partner and have him be more of the defensively responsible partner. It's going to be, again, that's one of the things that Haxel is going to have to sort of shake out here early on, at least in my opinion.
And I think the other big issue is they got to figure out how to win on the road, win low scoring games on the road. Last year under Berrubi, I brought this up, numerous times, they were a 53-point team at home last year. I'm not saying, obviously they're not, it's a little easier in the NHL, despite what happened opening night here with all the road teams winning. It's easier in the NHL to win at home than on the road. It still is, statistically.
Yeah, it is.
But the Flyers, I don't think they're going to get 53 points at home again this year. But, that was something. That ranked towards the higher end of the league, and if they would have had, they would have been a decent road club, they're a playoff team. And, they're not a 106-point team, not even a 100-point team. But if you can get 53 points over your home schedule, then you're capable of beating some teams. And it's the same personnel, essentially, they had a year ago. I think that they go in and last night was an aberration here. It was the fastest in franchise history. They found themselves trailing with four goals. So to me, the disappointment was that they didn't come out ready to play in the second period, and they didn't come out ready to play in the third. They gave up goals in the opening minute of both of those periods, and that was a bigger concern to me because, listen, 4-0, you're not winning that night, even though there's still 55 minutes to go. But, you take the rest of the game, you start establishing some good things for the next night, and they didn't, for the next game, and they didn't do that. And that kind of inconsistency was what cost Craig Berube his job. And I don't think, even preseason, you really saw basically the same things you saw a year ago. So I think you're going to see the same kind of things where the Flyers will be very maddeningly inconsistent. They can go up against a team like Tampa and hold their own. Some nights, particularly at home, they might pick off those games, and then they'll follow that up with just a complete clunker. And I don't see that changing, and that's not going to get you in the playoffs.
I'll say this: there's an interesting thing that's certainly going on in the NHL, and that is, and Anthony brought up, like, certain matchups, it's just, there's so much parity in the league now that it's really hard to predict outcome of games now. It just is. Because, if you'd have told me Columbus is going to be in last place and Pittsburgh would only have one goal so far, there's some crazy things definitely going on, and it's early in the season. But with parity the way it is, I think it's almost like the coaching staffs have a harder job now than they ever had before. It's almost like you have to have new film and a new game plan for every single game. You can't seem to run everything the exact same way every game. Anybody disagree?
No, I agree with that totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would say so. It's just everything's sort of isolated. It's one of the reasons why we sort of emphasize, there's always this focus in on momentum. And again, mm-hmm. it's such a sort of a thin, wispy sort of thing that's looked at. But again, I think that may be true in game in, game out. We see that too. We certainly talk about that come playoff time as well. But yeah, each game just has that kind of isolated feel to it, where again things mm-hmm. can snowball on you very quickly. And again, I feel like that Florida game last night was certainly indicative of that.
Yeah, and so
well,
I watched games. Go ahead.
I was just saying, what's so disappointing about it, and this goes to the point of the inconsistency, is coming on the heels of such a positive, even though they ended up losing in overtime in the opening game, there was a really positive feeling that came out of that game with Tampa, because that was a team they had not fared against very well in recent years, especially in Tampa. And I think they had gone 9 straight games there without even picking up a point. until opening night. So, you know, that's the thing that's really going to be frustrating about this team is there's going to be an emotional roller coaster, I think, for the fans, and that's probably going to be a lot of what Ron Hextall was saying
with the
patience. You know, I think the fans are going to have a lot more patience than they realized. I think it's okay to say it
a lot of times for people, but
when it actually happens, you have to sit through a game like last night. You know, I think the fans aren't going to be as patient as they
say they will, especially when you have, you know,
prospects that seem like they're ready to come up and make a difference right
now. But
there's also
the situation with contracts having to run out and
or you know, being able to be traded.
So
it's going to be an up and down
season until they can actually make some moves.
True. All right. So I'm going to direct this one to Bill because he's closest to the team. We do cover games, but we don't cover it as closely as Bill does. So, Bill, after two games, players-only meeting, you know, you see all these tweets about it, and everybody seems to be freaking out about it. I don't think that that's, like, the worst thing in the world. I think when you have a new coach, maybe this is the way to sort of help him get everybody in line with the new message. It's not like, you know, they've had a long time to sort of figure out how – the new coach is going to be.
Exactly. I think that, you know, they were criticized for lacking internal leadership last year. Two games in seems certainly as early, especially considering they played well in the first one. But, you know, you're playing the same team again on Monday night, and I just think the message has to be, okay, you know, a night like tonight can't happen again. If you lose... You know, you lose, but you don't lose because you didn't come out ready to play in any of three periods. That just can't happen. So, I think whatever was said in there, you know, I think it needed to be said just off the bat, so you can, you know, while it's still early and correctable. So I don't have a huge problem with it. I don't think there's any, you know, there's no drama in there. I just, you know, I just think last night was such a horrific night that I think the message, you know, a lot of times also the team meetings, it's not guys rattling the walls and throwing stuff around. Sometimes it's kind of, you know, okay, everybody just needs to relax here, turn the page and play better on Monday. Let's have a good practice tomorrow. And sometimes it's as simple as that.
Yeah, so you don't get the sense that they're doing Herbies or anything before the home opener?
No, not at this point.
Okay. And that's fair. I mean, it's early, and a lot of things could happen. I mean, the one thing I would say to Flyers fans who want to jump off the ledge, hey, look, injuries can happen. A lot of things can happen. Again, just think about how Mike Johnston feels, and I'll pass this around. But even after two games, did anybody on the panel think that Pittsburgh would have the least amount of goals in the Metropolitan Division? Me, I'll raise my hand and say no way.
No, but what I will say about Pittsburgh is that my concern for them always has remained, obviously, their ability to, I mean, you know, the one-on-one talent level, obviously, of those three players of Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel are obviously noteworthy. Then they got a lot of, you know, excellent offensive front, but I do worry a little bit about the fact that their defense is a little on the questionable side. And again, that goes into transitioning the puck up ice for them, and you know, and creating scoring opportunities. Those guys the forwards by themselves can't go the full 200 feet themselves. They need to have support. And the games that I've seen from Pittsburgh so far, they're not exactly getting it. So that you know, in that respect, I won't tell you I thought that this goal that they would be this low on the total this early, but. You know, I did have some concerns.
Yeah, I'm just tallying up. My fast count is 9 teams with 0 points. Does that seem high to anybody? It seems really high to me. It seems pretty lopsided. I don't know. Bill, what do you think? I don't know. To start two games into a season, that seems like an awful lot of teams to not even have a point.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it does. And I don't know. It's one of those. I don't know. It's one of those things. I mean, it's. I wouldn't have figured it though. You know.
Yeah, I mean, even Toronto has a point, right? So I mean,
right.
It took them three games to get it, but they have it. All right, so the opener, you know, I think one of the fun things for the opener, the home opener, will be can they possibly top some of the other ones that we've seen? Now that they have these ice projections and graphics have just gone crazy for some of these teams, I'll tell you, I thought the Devils was as good as anybody's. I thought the Rangers was as good as anybody's. You know, I used to think the Canadians had the best because maybe they went all in on this technology first, but now everybody has it. So I don't know. Can the Flyers top these other teams? What are you guys thinking? Who did you enjoy from, like, maybe YouTubes that you saw over the last couple of days?
Again, to not focus too much on the, from what I've seen in terms of the on-ice projection stuff, but I mean, you know, we've been pretty impressed the last couple of seasons about what the Flyers certainly put together for their home openers. But, again, it's one of those things where, you know, the presentation has become everything. The one thing I am wanting to see a bit more of is going to be, maybe not necessarily the pregame stuff, but I'm actually very curious to see how this new SkyCam is going to work in terms of, we saw, got a little bit of how that's going to potentially change projections. We've seen how that's happened in the NFL. But again, the NFL has the advantages of having a much wider field to work with to kind of swoop in and swoop out, whereas, you know, your quarters are much tighter, plus you got...
And a slower-moving game.
It's a slower-moving game, and also you've got to be concerned as well because the fans are much even closer to things. You're looking at also, you know, potentially obstructing views of some of the upper of the people in the upper deck in terms of watching games and things of that sort. So, again, that's kind of – I'm not as much focused in on what they're doing with the pregame projections as I am and how sort of the overall – how things are going to work within the game itself and how the presentation of the game may change over time with the new technology.
What about you guys? Bill or
Dave?
I
think it is a pretty impressive sight. It's always much better live than watching them on TV. So it's it'll be a fun sight tomorrow night. It's always, you know, it's also even better though when your home opener is the first or maybe second game of the season. Once you're getting third, fourth mm-hmm. game of the year, if you're starting the year on the road and you've seen a couple of them already, it's a little different too. But it's always a cool thing. I mean, I think it's the whole spectacle of opening night, and it's fun.
Yeah, it'd be interesting
to see if the Flyers do go in with some of the on-ice projections as opposed to more of the laser imaging they've been using the last couple of years. I have seen some of the, as you mentioned, Montreal kind of was up at the forefront of that. And there's a lot of teams that have been using that. And, you know, Ed Snyder's not one to lag back, so... it'd be interesting to see what he does.
Yeah, no doubt. I think sometime tomorrow night, SkyCam will be trending. That's just my guess. For better or for worse. I don't know how quick it'll be for the game.
Yeah.
I don't know how quick it'll happen. We're going to take a quick 3-minute break to listen to Travis Sanheim at the NHLPA Rookie Showcase. There were some fun hijinks with him. We'll take a listen and we'll comment on it in a minute.
Russ Cohn, David Wright, NHLPA Rookie Showcase with Travis Sanheim, the Philadelphia Flyers. Travis, how's this going? Obviously, you're with a couple guys you know here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this the group that I'm in is, you know, I played against them all year. They're all, you know, they're all in the Western Hockey League, and you know, I played with them at different events, and you know, we get along quite well, and you know, it's been a lot of fun out here. We've been having fun and joking around.
Now, you know, when you're at an event like this and they're shooting you for a card, they must think you're pretty close to, you know, making the big club. I cover out of Philly, no pressure. But you have a new coach there who definitely likes defense. What do you think of your new coach, Dave Haxtell?
Yeah, I got, you know, I was in Philadelphia, you know, the day they hired him and got the first opportunity to meet him. And, you know, he seems like a good guy and a good coach. And, you know, I'm excited to get things going with him and see what it's all about.
A lot of young defensemen on the team. Is that good to have that competition to sort of keep you striving?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we got a good group of, you know, young D prospects, and you know, we're all buying for spots, and you know, it's going to be a battle. Guys are going to be competing, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we get along, and you know, we're all friends off the ice.
Now, you're a tall guy to begin with, but throw you on skates and you're even taller. But I'm looking at this stick, and I'm 5'5". The stick is taller than me. Do you play with a longer stick on purpose, or do you just is that just something you're comfortable with?
That's just something I'm comfortable with. I think as a D-man, tend to have sometimes a longer stick, and it definitely benefits me and playing my one-on-ones and battles. And in the offensive end, I don't seem to have trouble using a longer stick, and I'm just kind of used to it. So it's a stick that I like to use.
But Sam Moran's got to use a longer stick than you, though,
yeah,
right?
For sure. He's got a way longer stick than me.
It's funny, though, because, like, in camp a year ago, Sam had a semi-short stick. He didn't even realize he could use a bigger stick.
Yeah.
Like, we told him, like, Sam, you could use a bigger stick. They allow that.
Yeah.
So, as far as your skills over the summer, what's the biggest improvement you've seen in your game?
I think my strength. I think I've put in a lot of work this summer and definitely gotten stronger and faster and that's something that if I want to get to that next level, I definitely needed to improve on, and especially being a D-man, playing against older, bigger, stronger guys, I wanted to put on a lot of muscle and be able to not necessarily run over a guy, but be able to contain them and defend well and have a bit of strength there.
How much better is the food for players when you're with the Flyers rather than being in juniors?
obviously it's a pro organization and it's nothing but first class in Philly, and I'm extremely happy to be with that organization, and it's been nothing but good.
So, what do you think about that Jake retirement kid? How's he? How's he as a kid?
No comment.
No comment. Love it, Travis. Good luck this season, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so Ant, that was obviously Jake Virtanen asking Travis Sanheim how he would rank Jake Virtanen. That's pretty
nice.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, we saw before when we had your interview with Virtanen, and Sanheim was in the background of that previous interview. The two of them pretty much giving it to each other pretty good as teammates. So,
they're close, those guys. It's fun. It's fun to see that, and now you could understand. It's easy to understand when these guys start playing each other around the league, how like they might be talking during, skate around and stuff, and fans sometimes misinterpret that stuff, but really they're just longtime friends, and they just, it's the only time they can catch up before they have to tear each other's heads off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the way it works. All right, so tomorrow night, I'm not going to ask for predictions, but do we at least think it's going to be a closer game? I would have to think it's going to be a closer game, but I got to tell you, I can't say with any certainty the Flyers are going to win, but I would say at least I know it's going to be a closer game. Ant, what do you think?
I think it's going to be a bit of a closer contest. I think Florida, when I did my predictions, I think Florida is definitely going to be pushing the envelope this year in terms of getting themselves in the playoff picture here. Good depth. I think they've also gone with a lot more of their younger players. They've had veterans in their lineup for a long time. They still obviously do, but I think they're trying to give their young players even more responsibility than they've had in the past. And I think they're a tough and interesting matchup for the Flyers. I think it's going to be closer. And again, it's just like as we said, every single game kind of is its own animal in this case. And if Philly can get out in front early in this, the tail of the game could be very different, as long as they can sort of maintain that effort all the way through. So I would say Flyers probably really, really kind of need this game out of the gate. I mean, I know it's very early in the season. I think they edge Florida 3-2 tomorrow night.
Okay. Bill?
Yeah, I absolutely think it'll be a much closer game. I mean, it's not going to be a 6-goal game, I wouldn't think, but I think it'll be a close game. It's always hard to know beforehand, how a game is going to turn out. The Flyers really need their top line to step up. I mean, actually, before we went on the show, I was just looking at the number of goals that Voracek and Giroux scored going back to about the All-Star break last year. You know that in his last 32 games, Voracek has 4 goals?
No, I didn't know that.
That dates back to mid-February last year. And Giroux has 8 going back to late January. So, that obviously that has to change. they need their top line stepping up, particularly at 5-on-5, because that they just have to be the catalyst. If they can get out early, they should be fine. You know, with Florida's the kind of team that playing Florida is a little bit like playing Jersey, in that you have to be very patient playing against them because they're not a team that comes back on you very well. Still, I mean, maybe if guys like Huberdeau or Barkov, you know, start to blossom this year, that'll change. But still, you know, Florida's a team that generally thrives, last night aside, on winning low-scoring games. And the Flyers tend to get frustrated if they can't score. You know, I mean, once the longer it goes into a game, sometimes you start to worry a little bit. So I think the first period is important. You know, the Flyers can get up early, it should be fine. If not, to me, it's a toss-up.
Dave?
Yes, I mean, Gallant's a good coach. They're a well-coached team. They do play a lot like the old Panthers teams back when they were, you know, in the 90s. But they had a lot more, way more offensive talent than those teams did. I think the Flyers just have to maintain composure. I mean, even if they give up an early goal, they've got to, like, really just not let it snowball like it did last night. It would be important to get a lead. But they definitely need this game just for their, I think, their mental state moving forward. It is only the third game of the season, but you do want to have some positives to build upon. And I think Hextall is going to have them more ready. I can't imagine they're going to be giving up early goals every period again. I think they win in a close one tomorrow night.
Okay. Who's the number one guy you think the Flyers have to sort of game plan against? I kind of think it's Ekblad because, like, to me, if Ekblad's able to take out either Giroux or Voracek, then that could really impact the game. Not to mention he's a guy that can just bring the puck up the ice the entire length at times and get off a great shot and get his own scoring opportunities. I think it's Ekblad. Who do you think it, Ant?
Any one of the top unit, I certainly is always going to be very much a concern for me with there. I mean, the Barkov line really, it's a well-balanced unit. You've got, you know, obviously Yager's veteran leadership there. I think if you're able to neutralize that line and sort of bottle them up and really sort of focus in on that does work. That does help. I mean, they do have obviously, you know, Bjugstad and other players that you have to account for as well. But I think if you're able to sort of slow that particular first line's roll, that's what I focus on as much as anything.
Bill?
Yeah, I would agree with Anthony. I mean, it's the top line. They certainly did their share of damage last game. If you can work the matchups to get the top line away from Ekblad's pair, that's always a good thing, but just in terms of playing solid all around game. I mean, I don't think Hextall is going to necessarily look for line matchups this early in the season, this kind of a game. But this, you know, I go back again to what they did in Tampa, right? Containment through the neutral zone, good breakouts, get the puck in, forecheck. Those kind of things. If they can do that, then they're a different team. Keep their feet moving, because when they get stationary, they get in trouble. You know, that could be against any opponent. So you know the top line being a good case in point, because you have skill. You have Yager's size and strength is still formidable. His ability to control the puck. So if they can contain that line, you can probably hold the Panthers in general in check. But just not trying to cheat out of the zone, not trying to make all those stretch passes that go for icings like they had last night because they had a million of those. You know, I just think in general, just playing a much smarter game is in order.
Yep. Dave, before you go, I just want to let people know we'll probably go a minute into overtime so they can come back to hear your answer. Dave Strail, you have the final word.
Well, you guys all touched on all the big points. I mean, that's, you know, the top line and you know, Ekblad, I definitely agree on that. don't really have too much more to add. I mean, you guys put it real well.
All right. Well, then that'll end this roundtable. I tell everybody go check out Bill on Hockey Buzz and Dave on Fourth Period and on Twitter. They'll be really active tomorrow night. Anthony too. I'll be active. We'll all be saying our part. And thanks for listening and thanks for taking part in the show, guys. And that's good. That's it for Off the Post. We'll catch everybody next time.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks.